Hello, everyone. Packard Sonic here. Before you get to the recording, I wanted to let you know why this episode is much shorter than usual. We had technical difficulties during the recording, and a lot of it had to be cut. This is episode 423, recorded February 17th, 2017. Packard pokes at Trump's catapult moving religious services. I want to thank Seawalker from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard Pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
Do you think Obama got my Valentine? It says, I miss you, come back. It's not you, it's me.
it's not you, it's Trump.
Trump. Yes, it's Trump.
You know, when you go to move, you make plans, you check out the neighborhood, and you say, hey, I want to live in this spot. Or let's just say you're a big corporation, and you just say, we're going to put our business in this particular location, and we're going to set up shop. But before you do all that, you have to look at all the alternatives and go, what's good for us as a business and what's good for the neighborhood or where we're going to be at? The U.S. has done something like this a while back. They had planned to move the consulate over in Israel to a different location, but they decided, well, we're going to hold off because the neighbors there don't exactly like us, and, well, we're going to have some problems. There is this thing called the Jerusalem Embassy Act, which was created back in May 31st of 1999, where they were going to move the embassy over in Israel to, I think it was in from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But the problem is that there's going to be a lot of tensions if the United States does that for whatever reasons. So all the previous presidents since 1999 have kind of said, yeah, we're going to kind of hold off on this until, you know, things quiet down or our situation's improved. Trump has come along and goes, on the first day, his swearing-in process wasn't even 24 hours old. The paint wasn't even dry yet. And he's like, yeah, got to move it. Got to move it now. Got to get it done. Why?
He's moving to Beverly Hills, right?
He thinks.
Swimming pools, movie stars.
Yeah.
Totally clueless about detente. Totally clueless about everything that's actually going on in the world and has been going on since I was in junior high in the 70s, since Israel became a nation. I don't know. How could he be this vapid and clueless? I have no idea, because to move our embassy to Jerusalem, it's a disputed holy spot for, you know, Islam and for the Jews and for the Christians. And if the Christians want Armageddon, the ultra right wing's choice, Donald Trump, is about to deliver it for them.
Yeah. If this happens, the change would enforce Israel's absolute claim to ownership of the capital city, which, as you kind of pointed out there, is a fierce contention between the Palestinians, who also recognize the city as their capital, and for the Muslims who identify Jerusalem as some kind of holy site.
Yep.
The Israelites over there have been basically wiping out the Palestinians. It's basically genocide at this point.
They make it sound like, though, it's not that the Palestinians don't also retaliate, but
no.
It's...
No, you're right.
But they're trying to make it sound like it's one-sided and, you know, the Israelites are being attacked solely. This is such a mess. This is all about coming into a place where you don't understand the politics, you don't understand the religion of the area, and you're trying to make, going back to 1947, you know, going ahead and inserting Jews into here and trying to reform and recreate some kind of state of Israel. And it buggers my mind because it's very arrogant how this whole thing came about.
Yeah.
And it's been nothing but a wart on and a potential war on the blight of the world since then.
The fact is that and you kind of pointed out earlier, the fact is I don't think that they care. I don't think the Trump administration even cares. If war breaks out over there, it's like, it's okay. We'll let them all kill themselves and then we can steal their oil. Because he has said that we should just go over there and just take the oil. I mean, I don't know if there's any oil in Israel, but you know, it would completely destabilize the entire region. Just one action like that is all it takes.
I would say that oil has been the motivating factor, the actual motivating factor behind nearly every action in the Middle East.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the oil that's over there, I don't think anybody over here would even give a flying fuck about Israel or the Middle East at all. They'd probably say stuff like, let them just go ahead and bomb each other into non-existence. It doesn't bother us because they don't do anything to us. It's the oil we want.
I'm not trying to pretend to understand everything about, you know, the different countries in Africa, but we're not half as interested in all of the genocide and things and in coups in Africa as we are in the Middle East. And everybody says it's because of oil. It's because of what's in the ground.
Yeah.
And everything in Africa has to do with diamonds. It has to do with, again, what can we get from this? And this is why the world cares about this.
Yeah,
it's not about people.
No, you're right. It's not about the people, because if it was about the people, a lot of those people look at places like, I don't know, Ethiopia, for example.
Yes.
If there were oil there, we'd be over there helping those people in a heartbeat, but there's no oil there. So I was like, well, we'll kind of send some aid, maybe, you know, help out a little bit, but we're not going to, you know, help fix things and feed people and make your life better in any way.
What gets me to about Israel is these different religions, you know, Christianity and Islam and Judaism. They can't just all agree that they all have a reason for this to be their quote-unquote holy site, air quotes, happening right now. And why can't you just all get along? Guess what? You know, it existed long before you even came there. Because magic sky wizards, I guess.
Because it's magic sky wizards and real stuff like oil. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Trump.
Yeah. Thank you, Trump. Smart watches are a thing, and they come in all kinds of flavors and styles and companies and whatnot. They can measure your heart rate. They can measure the last time you masturbated, the last time you had orgasm. You can do all kinds of things with them. They can even now tell when you're being incredibly boring. I wasn't even kidding about the orgasm stuff. That's actually a thing. That's an app you can get for some watches. Anyway.
TMI.
Hey, I researched this stuff, okay? I researched this stuff.
I'm sure you did. And by the way, do we have the boring app on our website right now?
Well, we should. We really should.
Maybe that might help.
We need this app for this show. I seriously think we need this app for this show. There's a watch you can wear that will tell you, it'll measure your heart rate and other things like that with 80% accuracy. And this was a watch that was developed by MIT. Basically what it does is it sends you little vibrations if the conversation that you're having with somebody is basically getting dull. I mean, it's great for apparently first dates or interviews. This way you can judge whether your conversation that you're having with somebody is stimulating in any way, I guess. It comes with sensors and a heart rate monitor. It measures blood pressure, blood flow, temperature, and movement. There's some versions that make audio recordings of the conversation to assess the pitch, energy, and levels and vocabulary. Those supercomputers out in wherever these are connected out to are doing overwork, I think. Now, the algorithm was developed with analyzed the tone of the conversation. It came out with an 83% accuracy rate. Signs of poor chat include pauses, monotony, and fidgeting. Well, then I'm fucked because I fidget all the time.
I'm confused. Does this measure whether you're bored? Because this is on your wrist. Or is this measure whether or not your partner is bored?
Yeah, no, because I was wondering the same thing. I was like, how is this going to help? How am I supposed to determine if...
Exactly, because any kind of self-aware person should understand that, hey, yeah, I'm bored with this conversation. It's like, right. this is not useful at all.
Not in that regard. I was going to say, you know what we should do? Before you start a conversation with somebody, you know, it has that born or whatever.
Sync your watches.
I need you to wear this watch while we're talking.
or you could both have a watch.
If it starts buzzing at you, change the topic because I'm getting bored.
You're here to please me. I mean, that's what this is about, right?
I must be entertained.
This is a Trump app. so awesome. The most epic awesome. you're the most boring. So sad. Go away. I don't speak Trumpese. I'm trying to understand the lingo. Well, you know, it's interesting, but as I'm looking at it now, I'm like, well, this what we're just talking about. You're telling yourself you need a watch to tell yourself that you're bored.
Well, we're subletting everything we do to every other device. So the next one is going to be able to tell you when you need to pee. I'm just saying. Your heart rate.
No, really. You can't wait. You think you can hold it, but you can't wait. Right? Now that's actually a more useful app. the person who's on his eighth hour of a 9-hour drive through, you know. Right. No, you better pull over now or you're gonna have an accident. That's useful.
That would be useful. That would be a lot more useful. This is a nice try, but I mean, I can tell when I'm in a conversation I'm getting bored. It's like, okay, yeah. But the thing is though, for me, what I do is let's just move the conversation along to do something else. Or it's like, hey, look, I start looking at my watch and go, hey, you know what? Look at the time. You know, it's like the joke.
I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes and I'm watching you, by the way. Okay, go on.
They go like in a movie. He's not even wearing a watch. He looks at it and is like, whoa, look at the time. I got to go. And he takes off.
I'm going to say, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't see this watch as being useful. I really don't. I mean, it's interesting.
There's already an app for that, right? Yeah.
we just need an app for that. Just something. We just need
it's called
that says you're being boring. Boring.
it's called body language and like, oh, what is that over there?
Well, there are people who are, I mean, for you and I, we get it. We really get it. But there are people out there. I'm gonna give it a little help here. There are people out there who don't realize that they are boring. Me, I know I'm boring. I start talking to people and then the conversation gets away from me. Like, okay, I guess you don't want to talk to me anymore. You're done with me, so I'll just leave. So fuck you all. I'm out of here.
I know. I've seen a lot of crickets on my Facebook page recently. I'm like, well. Either somebody's hijacked my Facebook account or you need to switch up there.
Smartwatch app, they're going, are Connie's post boring?
Oh. This is another picture of a cat. Oh, God damn it.
Am I sufficiently entertained?
Her cats are not that cute. Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. but they are so cute, though. I love it. I'm going to be the crazy cat lady. I'm going to be that old throwing cats at people. Actually, I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to be the woman on Simpsons because, yeah, I wouldn't throw my cat.
Well, she has a cat cannon. She's just,
that's true. But, That's true. I guess they sign up for that. But anyway, yeah, this is, it's an interesting use for it, but you should be self-aware.
Yeah, I mean, for the people who are not self-aware, I can see this being a something that's helpful for them. I mean, maybe they just don't realize that the fact is the way they're talking, they're just kind of starting to get incredibly slow and boring, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Some people would say this would have been a good watch for Obama, because you've heard Obama speak. He takes long pauses between what he says. That's no diss on him.
No. His delivery style. I always loved when, I can't remember if it was Key or Peele, but you know, the last thing he did at one of the Obama things in 2016. He was his anger management person, basically. And that was such a funny bit, because he was just like over the top emotional, and Obama's just so cool. Is he asleep?
Yeah.
Very funny bit because of that. Yeah. So I miss you, Obama. Come back. Stop parasailing and come back.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokeSet on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokeSet, or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokeSet. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable...
Fire! Fire! Fire!
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. And be sure to join us on our secondary podcast, The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe. An episode dropped yesterday. They are now dropping on Thursdays. And Connie, we talked a couple days or last week or whatever. We were talking about the dreams and whatnot when we were talking about that other story. And we are actually into the dream sequence part of the Bible of Joseph and his technicolor coat. So we are
deja vu.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, God.
You had said it. It's like, and I hadn't listened to the episode yet. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. It happened to drop that day. So, yeah.
What if we pick the wrong religion? Every week, we're just making God madder and madder.
Testify.
Atheism has been on the rise for a while now, and it's about time. Religion is not making the same waves in reality with the people, the younger generations. There's a lot of surveys out there. Now, this comes from the Friendly Atheist blog here. It says that there's a survey that shows Americans, especially younger ones, that are warming up to atheists. Now, put a nice little graph on this. Between 2014 of June and January of 2017, now, there was some really interesting numbers here. A good number of these denominations and beliefs, they did rise, but there was one very particular one that kind of flatlined, and which in itself, even though it's a flatline, it does indicate that the belief, it's not growing and it's not shrinking, it's just kind of staying there. And once you start flatlining, that's when things start dying off. Back between 2014 and 2017, the Jews, for example, went from 63% to 67%. That's not a huge rise. It's pretty big, but it's not huge. Catholics went from 62 to 66, along with mainline Protestants with the same number. They had 65. Now, this is the one that flatlined. Evangelical Christians, The ones we usually talk about, like here on the show, like people like Pat Robertson, Dobermeyer, and all those people of their ilk, they're just kind of 61% and just kind of hovering. Now, atheism, on the other hand, went from 41 to 50. That's almost a 10% jump in that cycle.
Wait, oh, 40. Yeah, sorry. Never mind. I see it there. Okay. I was looking at Mormon.
Yeah. The only one that came close to having the same effect was Hinduism, which went from 50 to 58. There's 1 point less. I mean, the greatest jump was for atheism, which was from 41 to 50. That's a 9% jump. And now Muslims, because, well, Muslims are fucking everywhere right now. And they also had an 8% jump from 40 to 48.
Doesn't mean that they're radicalizing. It just means that people are curious about this across the board, or lack of religion. And that's what I see the younger generation looking into. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, they should be, because there's more than one religion.
And, there it is. Wait a minute. This is new news to me.
Yep. Plus a lack of belief. And the biggest, moneymaker shaker, look at me, mm-hmm. Evangelical, Pentecostal type religion, the thing that's been on everybody's TV and everything since like the late 70s, is the one they're ignoring, because they see everything about that. And they go, no, that's not in. Okay, I know all about that. What about all these other things? And so
I think evangelicals are having basically having a heart attack over this. The fact is that they're looking at their numbers and they're going, we're not getting any better. We're not getting any worse, but we're not getting any better on this either. The fact is that they're not growing, I think, speaks pretty loudly. I mean, the more that they yell, the more that their message is being lost.
Yes.
Because they're making up all kinds of crazy claims. Well, this person didn't like to do this because demons, or the people who were marching against Trump are full of demons, and people are not receiving these messages. They're hearing them and they're going, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you at all. And you know what? You can go take a flying fuck. I'll go find a different religion to be around, because I don't want to deal with this crap. I'm not a bad person because I don't agree with you.
So, yes. Anyway. Yeah, I know. Actually, I just had one of my daughters, my adult daughters, trying to say today that the next generation is more conservative and more libertarian. And I wanted to vomit a little bit.
I can understand why you'd want to vomit after hearing something like that,
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Now, what was really interesting here, if we're going to break this down to when we said that, the atheist groups have actually gotten bigger, it's made a gain in both Democratic and Republican parties. So it's not just, all right, we're getting bigger in Democratic parties and less in Republican. It's more across the board, which I thought was rather interesting.
That's, but they also align their values more with corporate gains, attitudes, because that's the other thing the GOP aligns itself with is the free market.
Money.
Like that. Yes. So that's what I meant to say. I'm glad that people are open to exploring the idea, because that's where the discussion lies, assuming there is a discussion in all this. So
yeah,
I don't know that there is, but.
Right. Now, what's interesting here also is that it is right from the page here. It says old people really dislike the atheists. Well, because they're holding on to these old values, and younger people like atheists just as much as other Christians who have always had the edge, and even more than Mormons. So we are moving up as atheists. We are definitely moving up.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Trump has been talking about building a wall. Let's make a big wall, a big wall between United States and Mexico. Trump, I got to ask you, have you ever seen the Great Wall of China? Have you heard of it? The Chinese built this gigantic wall to keep out the Mongols, right? That's how, that was the idea. They still got in. Did the wall work? No, it did not. The fact is that walls are especially not effective across borders in the 21st century, because we have these things called airplanes, and people can dig tunnels. And that's not even the half of it. I mean, we can actually put stuff over the fence, you know, like throw them over a fence. Like if you're in your yard and you hit the baseball and you're like, oh my God, the baseball went to Mr. Neighbor's yard because the fence doesn't go straight up into infinity. People are building catapults along the walls and putting drugs and stuff like that on there, and they're shooting them over. A device recently was discovered last week at the southeast of Tucson, Arizona, when agents spotted a group of men scattering as they approached.
They needed a bigger mitt.
Yeah, they needed a bigger mitt. A closer look turned up two bundles of cannabis, a combined weight of 47 pounds, which had yet been to need to be launched. The catapult was dismantled on the Mexican side, but no arrests were made. Now, of course, like I said, Donald Trump has committed himself to building more walls, but drug traffickers have, in recent years, turned to increasingly creative means of getting their product over, including drones, car ramps, and air cannons. There was a number of years ago, there was a story where they had a flatbed truck going back and forth between the United States and Mexico. And the problem was they didn't put anything on there. They just had like regular trips going back and forth, but there was nothing on the truck. It was like just the trailer just being pulled back and forth, back and forth. Makes no sense. So you think that's going to arouse a little bit of suspicion? You think maybe?
You know, I think that if a businessman was really smart, they would capitalize on this kind of creativity.
Yeah.
The other question I have is, what is the weight of air-laden swallow? You know, I'm going back to my Monty Python and the Holy Grail days. Can we put a cow on this catapult? You know,
where's the beak? It's flying over the moon.
That's right. I think that this is glorious in its simplicity and obtuseness and everything else. Just like, yes. Oh, let's just build a wall. Let's build a bigger catapult.
Yeah.
Let's build a drug cannon. And remembering when my husband used to build potato guns, you know.
I'm beginning to wonder if Trump is building this wall to keep us in and not us them out.
Yes. Can we build a Trump cannon?
Oh,
where would we send him?
I saw this.
Maybe North Korea.
Oh well.
Aim him at North Korea.
That's what we need is Trump in North Korea. Then the horrifying world would just have gasp of going, oh my gosh, this is even worse.
Melania Trump, though, might be behind this. Maybe we need to get somebody on the inside and get her on our side. And, you know, I'm just saying, no woman that beautiful should be making duck face all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's looking at her, and then at the inauguration turns away, and her face goes from smiles to frowns.
Yep, so. That #FreeMelania. I feel sorry for you. I don't care how many nude photos you've taken and how many porn movies you've made. You know, you obviously are very lonely.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the picture of this launcher.
Impressive.
Here. It is very impressive.
Impressive catapult. Yeah.
It is a very impressive catapult. They got the springs look like they came out of a big diesel engine truck or something like that, and the rest is just welded pieces together. I mean, you give a problem to a human being, they'll find a way to solve it.
True that.
And the wall is not a problem that is not hard to overcome. I mean, yeah, the only way you're going to stop this kind of shit from happening is to build the wall, I don't know, 1,000 feet tall. That's just beyond the pale.
And why the fuck would we do that?
Exactly.
That's not what our country was based on.
That's exactly right. This country was not based on, hey, we're in now, get the fuck out.
Although it is true that the newest immigrants tend to be the ones who say, yeah, no, but nobody else. Mm-hmm. Because human beings are basically selfish. We have the selfish gene, but I still argue that, like you are saying, it's not what we're based on. And if we, and again, this is a animated movie, but in the animated movie Mulan by Disney, you know, Attila, you know, the Hun, basically said, China built a wall because that's an invitation for us to conquer it. And that's all this is. Let's look at Canada, who is welcoming refugees.
Right.
And who's, you know, opening their borders.
I'm actually in favor of a wall between the United States and Canada. Just tall enough to keep the fucking cold air out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a wall around Trump.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying we can't put, like, make it bridges and stuff so we can go underneath the wall. I just want to keep the cold air out.
Because that's winter is coming. Because winter is coming, right?
Yeah, winter's always coming. And the fact is they keep blowing up my ass.
Oh, you just want a Zamboni. Come on. You know that's true.
I want a Zamboni, eh?
Sorry.
Yes.
You have Zamboni envy. I know.
I have Zamboni envy.
Hi, Corey Johnston. Yes.
Hi, Corey.
Oh, God.
Tonight on Pope on a Rope, we are going to be talking about our fourth pope, Julius II. He's the 216th pope that they've ever had. And he reigned from October 31st, 1503 to February 21st, 1513, which was 9 years and 113 days. Now, he is also remembered for commissioning Michelangelo to paint the Sistine Chapel.
Aww.
That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's like, I want the picture of the thing up there and a big pointy God pointing to the finger of the thing there. Michelangelo, no, don't point at his prick. Don't point at the no. You got to bring the arm back up. No, anyway.
Oh, those little naked baby cherub things and.
Yeah, yeah. He was all about the naked cherub things. Well, he was all about the penis. He really was about the penis because he was the first pope to contract the French disease. I had never heard of the French disease, but the French disease is just syphilis. How would a pope get syphilis? Well, apparently he got it from.
Kissing his ring too much?
No, I don't think it was from kissing his ring. I think he was kissing somebody's ring dang do. He got it from male prostitutes in Rome. They do this thing called the Good Friday. They come out and like let people kiss their feet because I guess I wouldn't kiss anybody's feet. Well, maybe. No. I might kiss somebody's feet, you know, if it's the right situation. But I not because they're special in any way, like, you know, religious or anything.
If we just spent an hour in the hot tub, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
If they've been in a hot tub for an hour, they're pretty much boiled clean by that time.
I got to say, and this is talking about my hubby. It's like, yeah, and you think, no.
Exactly. Ew. On the Good Friday in 1508, he was unable to allow his foot to be kissed by the faithful because he was completely covered with syphilitic sores. Ew. Just ew.
It's just athlete's foot.
Yeah, major case.
I've been running a lot. I've been going to the gym.
Yeah. This picture comes courtesy of Respect Existence or Expect Resistance Facebook page.
Yeah, it's interesting. I went to the Wikipedia about this pope and disputed a lot of this stuff that they're talking about here. But I'm like, yeah, sure. He's also known as the Warring Pope.
Really?
Evidently, he led a few charges, yes, into war. I didn't go into great depth about this, but I'm like, well, you know, that's in keeping with the biblical mandates about conquering and whatnot, I guess. It's just gross. And And excuse me, blaming the French for this?
Yeah.
This was a lot of, not racial profiling, I guess, but a lot of, you know, Italy versus France. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of political posturing. Blaming this disease on the French. So, yeah, no, yeah, guess what? You know, no, you don't get to just blame an entire country, because that's what this is about, I think, too. Mm-hmm. And that's why
they blame the French, because the French are so romantic, and they just want to have sex with everything that moves. That's
like human beings.
They gave it the French disease.
Yeah. Not every person has to be wanting to sleep with everything that moves, but at some basic level, yes, this is about human beings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no. Again, another conversation I just had with one of my children this other day. It's like, look, people have sex for a lot of reasons, all right?
Yeah, they do.
They do. Oh, but you know what? Guess what? If you want to claim that you're above it all and you're the Pope, no, you don't get to have sex.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
No, and you don't.
The fact is, you know, the Catholic Church has always been this thing about having a problem with gay people, but mm-hmm. apparently they were doing some pretty gay shit back then too. So
yeah, but so, deflecting.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely deflection. Definitely deflection. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
yeah, there's your Pope, Julius II.
On a rope.
A lot of rope. Lots of rope for this Pope.
Nice jerk at the end around the neck, around your head, on the top of your body.
Yeah.
There. Yes. Make sure I said that right.
Well, we'll be back next week with our Okay, Let's Talk. We're going to be discussing how to do debates.
Yes.
At least that's what we're planning on talking about. That's subject to change. So.
I disagree. God, no. Yes, with hopefully a special guest.
Yes, with definitely a special guest. That'll be the converted man if all things go correctly. So we'll have him on, and since he's... seems to know a bit more about debates than we're going to be talking about that then.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you next week. This has been Packard Pokes at. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.